ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cedarstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. Dave Allen is my co-host today, and we are going to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. It is Wednesday, August 7th, 2019. Good afternoon, Dave.
Hey, happy hump day, Melody.
Same to you. And, you know, an incredible day in the markets today. It was very exciting this morning. The paper markets cooled off. They reversed themselves. Big day, but it's amazing how low they can go and how they can bring them back. The gold had a great day today, Dave. We saw gold currently in the New York spot price after market up 20 after it was up 33, I believe, was the high on the day. So it did come back. You know, everyone is out there calming the markets from all the financial news programs to President Trump, all out there trying to calm the markets. So, and they were successful to some degree. Silver, so gold up $20. New York spot price after market, $14.95. Had a high of $15.11. Silver was up 58 cents today, $17.11. So that held. Silver held. The high, well, we had a high of 1731, but still a great day for silver. Platinum was up $11 at 866, and not a whole lot of change. You know, the dollar is holding at 97.59, so the dollar is still relatively strong. Crude oil, I saw earlier, was down over 2 points, and now we're looking at 147 at 52.16. And let's see where we can go to the paper markets. And I think the Dow ended at least to the upside a little bit after being off significantly. Yes, there was a huge bond market scare. Of course, the world markets, you know, the interest rates just tanked. We're going to talk all about this after our first segment today, so make sure you stay tuned. The Dow didn't recover 100%. It was still down 22 points, but holding 26,000. NASDAQ was down up 29 at 7,862. The S&P was up 2 at 2884. Now, the 10-year yield was 1.68%. And December's contract for gold is still 1509. European and Asian markets, you know, they held somewhat after the carnage in bonds. Our markets just didn't hold. But it was interesting. Yesterday, after our markets closed, it just dropped like a rock, and then they brought it back overnight and so forth. But a pretty interesting day in the markets, particularly the bond markets worldwide. I guess there were 10-year auctions today, so that probably helped and at least stabilizing the bonds. And as I said, everyone was out there, you know, pumping up the markets, trying to make sure everyone keeps a calm and cool head through all this. But I'll tell you what, Dave, listening to some of those analysis, the pundits on CNBC this morning, many of them were quite... It wasn't their normal, this is no big deal, you know, buy low, get in here, back your truck up, and so forth. A lot of comments that it's different this time. So we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. We have Wendy Wilson joining us from Apothecary Herbs. Good afternoon, Wendy.
Good afternoon, Melody. Hello, Dave.
Hi there.
Hi, I thought we'd talk about what happens when you have bad science and you get whistleblowers. Also, we're going to have a little clip here in a little bit, too. Todd's got that ready to roll. So, but first, let's talk about, you know, we got more laws that have been created to protect the whistleblowers who tend to reveal misconduct, unsanitary conditions, and even fraud that happens within medical science. So where do you suppose most of these offenses occur? Well, the research labs, often located in universities and also the pharmaceutical companies, is where you're seeing this. So should we rely strictly on whistleblowers to keep science honest? And the answer is no, because the pressure to remain silent is quite severe. It's really no secret your whistleblowers often do pay a price for not remaining silent. And we've also heard of scientists and physicians who've quietly removed themselves from the corrupt environment to reveal later what they observe. Now, there's also been investigative journalists that are also reporting some things, and they're sounding the alarms that our medical science area is really not all what we seem it seems to be, and it's overcome with corruption, and nobody really knows what treatments are good or bad, which is really a scary thought. So there have been scientists that have been imprisoned for blowing the whistle on activities within medical science, and Dr. Judy Mikovits is one. We've mentioned her before. She was working in cancer research with regards to the immune system, and what Dr. Mikovits had found access to, because she had access to the research, and she discovered that all these neurological disorders and cancer cases led her to the causes being the viruses, the animal proteins, the human cells in blood, and other contaminants in the vaccines themselves. So all the vaccines, she says, are contaminated intentionally. She also told, she was told by her employer that if she ever revealed this information, her career would be ruined and she would be destroyed if she made ever this information public. But Dr. Mikovits did pay the price. She sacrificed her career because she refused to denounce the data that she collected. So our modern science really acts above reproach in this area and is intentionally, really looks like it's harming people intentionally. So Dr. Mikovits joins the ranks of other scientists like Stephen Kretling and Joan Wachowski, who worked for Merck Pharmaceuticals as virologists. They blew the whistle on the MMR vaccine, which was a huge lawsuit over the claims that Merck faked the effectiveness of the vaccine. So the investigation suggested that Merck was engaged in dishonest testing practices. Apparently, they faked the results with animal antibodies. So the court determined that the whistleblowers did provide enough facts to allow Merck to be tried for proving false, for providing false documents to the government. Now, memos from the pharmaceutical staff showed they attempted to hide the information about the efficiency of the vaccine from the government. Dr. Stephen Kretling says this, when standard test methods don't work, showing the vaccine's ineffectiveness, faking test results is what Merck did. The warning to supervisors that the data was faked was not acted upon and instead resulted in steps against those reporting the breach. So the court found that there was evidence to support the whistleblower's claims. Merck knowingly made and used false records and statements of materials to falsify or produce a fraudulent claim. And the false claim is actually found printed in the package insert saying the MMR vaccine has a 95% effectiveness. They also found that the Merck supervisors conspired to hide the facts. Merck continues to fight the case, clouding the definition of what is really efficiency. What does efficiency really mean? Yeah. And discovery was ordered in 2016 when the case began. August 2010, they expect the discovery to be completed by October 2018, last year. We have to ask, though, this is an ongoing case still. And we have to ask, is the MMR vaccine that was faked the reason for all these mump outbreaks all across the United States from vaccinated people, right?
Well, you'd think there'd be some sort of a common denominator that would show that, right?
And, yeah.
And it is. And there yeah, is, that, that is, yeah.
That's, and they're from the vaccinated folks. Mm-hmm. Now, virologist Dr. William Thompson, this is interesting. He was a senior scientist at the Center for Disease Control, who got into a situation when discovering the MMR vaccine produced data on what appeared to target young African-American male children under 36 months, increasing the risk of autism. So we do have a clip, I think. Todd, can we roll that clip? It's about 3 minutes.
My name is George Arujo. I'm a trained chemist. I worked in the pharmaceutical industry a total of 16 years. My belief is that vaccine safety science is flawed and incomplete, and we haven't vaccinated any of our kids. When I graduated, I began working at Merck. Merck has released pepsifamotidine, Prilosec, omeprazole. And Merck manufactures quite a few vaccines. Most well known is probably the MMR. Before my wife became pregnant with our first child, I was largely indifferent towards vaccines. I just assumed that it was okay. I didn't really think about it. So when Stephanie became pregnant early 2000, I had just recently started in the vaccine sterile quality operations business unit as a supervisor in the biochemistry laboratory. I began to attend vaccine policy meetings. I asked basic questions about, for instance, the Hep B vaccine. I've got a child coming in a couple of months. So I'm wondering about the wisdom, scientific and otherwise, about administering a Hep B vaccine to an infant. Virtually every medical scholar acknowledges that the immune and autoimmune system of an infant is nowhere near developed. And so this is a medical intervention to boost an immune system about which we know very little. My questions are very specific. How do we know vaccines are safe? What do we do to determine their safety? What have we done to determine the robustness of the methods that we're employing to determine safety and efficacy? These are basic questions. What I began to find is that the type of studies were kind of shabby. I felt they were kind of rushed. There was sort of a rush to market. I raised questions like that and didn't feel that they were particularly appreciated. What I'm suggesting is that while I was at Merck, the answers that come back are superficial. And that's usually code for I don't know. That doesn't line up then with the conviction and the passion that vaccines are absolutely bulletproof and everybody should be vaccinated. There's a disconnect there. It makes you wonder what else is going on. Right around when my wife was about 7 months pregnant, it was one of those moments where we're driving down a road and I'm sharing with her the concerns that I began to have. And eventually we just kind of looked at each other and knew that we had come to the same conclusion. The probability of disease actually from vaccination was actually higher. And we made a decision we weren't going to vaccinate any of our children. We were meeting more and more individuals in the pharmaceutical business. We're also leaning in the same direction. I had a dear friend who still works in Big Pharma. She was about to give birth herself. She made that decision as well, not vaccinate at all. And we have not vaccinated a single time for any of our four children. They are super healthy, and it's, you know, 18 years after the fact and never look back.
And there you have it. Thank you, Todd. So we have scientists in the know, and even doctors too, not vaccinating their children. And why is that? Well, they know they're privy to inside information on these vaccines, where you and I are not. Now, getting back to Dr. William Thompson with the CDC, he was disturbed about some findings. He retained a lawyer, and he was attempting to correct an omission that certain data was omitted, skewing the statistical information on vaccines, the MMR in particular. And this is a quote from him. He said, "My concern has been the decision to omit relevant findings in a particular study for a particular subgroup and for a particular vaccine. There have always been recognized risks in vaccination, and I believe it's the responsibility of the CDC to properly convey these risks associated with vaccines to the public. My coworkers and I discovered a strong autism signal in children who received the MMR vaccine before their third birthday." And that's end of quote. So it appears that Dr. Thompson's supervisors ordered the scientists to eliminate this data from their final report that got published because they were asked to look into, is there an association between autism and vaccinations? So Thompson reported to his attorney, there's widespread fraud happening at the CDC. And there was a full report that occurred. The report was put together by the attorney Kevin Berry and Robert Kennedy Jr. The brief was titled "Exposing Autism Research Fraud at the CDC." Here's a quote from attorney Berry. He says, "The CDC has been subject to four scathing government studies that depict the corruption, mismanagement, dysfunction, and conflict of interest undermining their regulatory and policymaking functions and committing perjury." End of quote. So a lot of people think of the CDC as a safety measure, an independent watchdog to help govern over science to protect the people, but that's not the case. The CDC is a private corporation, and it looks after its shareholders just like the pharmaceutical companies do. So they profit from the spread of disease. They don't make money when people are well. Think about this. Here is an investigative reporter, Melanie Peterson. She says, today the goals of pharmaceutical policy and medical practices are often undermined due to institutional corruption. I love how she described that. She goes on to say, I actually thought that the drug companies were all about science. That's what they tell the public. They are all about science, discovering new drugs. When I started to follow their daily activities and talk to their executives, I learned that really it's all about marketing and profits that drove them. So the United States is the biggest user by 65% of the drug market. And she says, with the hordes of cash that drug companies make, they hand money to patient groups, hospitals, universities, medical schools, physician societies, government agencies, and any organization they can use. And this kind of disposable wealth, she says, has created a stranglehold on medical science. She says, we've come to this time when decisions on how to treat disease are hatched in a corporate marketing department rather than by a group of independent physicians working to improve health. In many cases, whether the medicine helps or harms a patient has become irrelevant to how much money it will bring shareholders in profits, end of quote. That's where we're at. That's where we're at. Who do you trust? That's the problem. And unfortunately, doctors are kind of in the dark. They only go by the massive distribution of the journal articles, which are really just marketing tools for the drug company. So they have no idea, you know, if the drug is going to help their patients or not. And that's scary just to think about that.
Wendy, did I hear you say that the CDC is a private enterprise?
Yeah, it is. It's privately owned. It's not a government-owned anything. People think it's government-owned. It's not. Has a board, has shareholders, just like an S corporation or any kind of corporation. We just have this tipping point, I think, where people are figuring out that the disease management drugs are not what they appear to be. So our creator wants us to know that our medicines are foods, spices, medicinal herbs, and he wants us to know that. So that's why we're here saying it.
Well, you know, it's just like the opioid crisis. You know, the doctors didn't know. They were told by the pharmaceutical companies that, you know, these were non-addictive, medications, and, you know, they were prescribed freely, and now we have this problem.
Right.
And no one is being held accountable for. And again, that's my, mantra. It's like no one is ever held accountable. Give us your contact real quick. We're heading into a break.
866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. See you next week.
Great report, Wendy.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. We'll be right back right after these brief messages.
We will find you acting on your best behavior. Turn your back on Mother Nature. Everybody wants to rule the world.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio. TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Spot gold, $14.99.50. Hey, I'll give you 50 cents to make it $1,500. Come on, break that $1,500. Come on, gold. As I called you earlier this week, you're my kids. Come on, gold and silver. Well, silver's good. $17.18, up 65. And again, $14.99.50, although the December contracts was over $15. So good day for gold, and we saw it jump more than 2% at the highest time of the year. It's the highest in more than 6 years. And again, a lot of it is based on the China and the U.S. trade war. Doesn't seem to be any signs of abating, although I think I did hear President Trump today come out and said, well, President Xi really wants to make a deal. Well, I don't know if you heard that report this morning, Dave, before I go off here, before we talk about some of these numbers, but it was the Prime Minister of Australia, former. He was pretty fascinating to listen to. He was on CNBC. He says in August, he says, all of China's leaders go to the beach.
Hey, they might be on to something.
And he talked about this particular beach that they go to, but they don't go to enjoy and vacation. They go to talk about the economy.
Like and an annual retreat.
It's like an annual retreat. And you know, he was talking about that he hopes that there might be a deal by the end of this year, but it could very well go into next year, all based in time to the elections. He also said that this might just be something that the two presidents, President Xi and President Trump, are actually working together. I mean, he didn't know, but he's gone to a lot of their meetings, and he really seemed to be in tune. And he really fought back some of the other analysts that were, you know, talking about China, their bad economy. He would agree and disagree on some things. It was really a fascinating interview with him, and he knew his stuff. Or at least it seemed that he did, and he, you know, caught my attention. But I thought that it was fascinating how, you know, that's why nothing will be complete. Of course, our politicians, they're gone for the month, too. They're gone for 6 weeks. I know Europe, they closed down basically in August. So perhaps this is why we're seeing a lot of this volatility that always seems to start at the end of July and into August also, why we have some of the most volatile months coming our way. So it was good to see gold higher today. And again, the trade war seemed to be the catalyst along with the bonds. And I think China's currency did level out today. Dave.
Yeah, they did. I mean, as we reported on Monday, you know, China responded to the threat of new tariffs by allowing its fiat currency, yuan, to weaken past that psychological barrier of 7 yuan per dollar. That, of course, prompted the U.S. to label China a currency manipulator. At the same time, White House economic advisor, our friend Larry Kudlow, said that the administration wants to continue trade talks and is still planning to host a Chinese delegation for talks in Washington this September. Now, there's some major Wall Streeters like Goldman Sachs, they're no longer expecting a trade deal to be struck, as you mentioned, before the November 2020 presidential election. Another biggie, Morgan Stanley, warned that these tariffs, this back and forth, could tip the world economy into recession by the middle of next year at the latest.
Well, you know, again, we saw a great day for gold. We broke through the $17 barrier, jumping up over 4% on the day at the peak. And you had the Spider Gold Trust, the world's largest gold-backed exchange traded fund, that rose. But not as good as gold. And gold did extremely well today. So 1-800-375-4188. And when you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, gold is up over $100 in a week. Up over $100 in a week. So, and we're going to get those $100 moves in a day. This is what you have to look forward to. And certainly silver also had a great day. And this is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen. That doesn't mean that we can't see some pullbacks. I'll be the first one to say, you know, we can have some pullbacks. We can have some, you know, hey, if they came out and had a trade agreement tomorrow, yeah, you'd probably see stock markets. You'd have a knee-jerk reaction. But Dave, I still believe, I always believe, and it's not, there isn't going to be anything that changes my mind. It all comes down to the debt. And so that's what it's all about. So how the bonds, why the bonds are reacting to the degree to the negative rates that we keep talking about. We're going to talk about that here in just a little bit. But, you know, so, you know, we're looking at this next, I guess September 1st is supposed to be this next trip of tariffs on products.
Yep.
And so you have a lot of many American businesses are out of room to shield their supplies from the new import taxes. In previous rounds, businesses front-loaded their purchases to avoid the tariff hikes. So that left some unsold goods piling up at one of the world's biggest warehouses complex in Southern California that serves the twin ports of LA and Long Beach. And of course, it's a major gateway for trade with China. So with this new 10% tariff on $300 billion of many consumer and technology goods from China is set to kick in a little more than 3 weeks, importers, U.S. importers, have almost no more warehouse space. So let alone enough time to beat the deadline, Dave.
Yeah, this could hurt a lot more this time around if things move forward. But here are a couple of other reasons why that's a problem. That we're reading about. I mean, companies may be more reluctant to front load this time around. Some were burned by rushing purchases ahead of a January deadline for the U.S. to increase tariffs on China. Now, that was a hike that was eventually delayed 5 months until May. Now they're stuck with the inventory and the extra cost of holding it. Now, the U.S.'s latest tariff threat and China's retaliation warnings continue to add another layer of uncertainty, you know, certainly in the broader economic picture, you know, as well as the supply chain, the global supply chains. And that's led analysts watching for three possible outcomes: sticker price increases, higher costs for companies, and, you know, continued shift in production to Southeast Asia from China, you know, to say, you know, Singapore, Vietnam, and so forth. Imports from China have already dropped 12% in the first 4 months of the year, to the ports of L.A. and Long Beach. That's, you know, bigger than an overall drop of 4.6% from all countries, and compare with a 22.1% increase in volumes from Vietnam.
Well, you know, the timing of this, you know, for a lot of Americans, it might seem like a terrible time. It's the day before the Labor Day holiday. Meaning right around the busy back-to-school shopping season, and just as importers plan inventories for December holidays, I don't know, Dave, you know, back-to-school, I don't know when kids go to school, but I would think most of their back-to-school stuff has already been completed by then. It's iffy, and I don't know when holidays inventory. I always thought that was done much earlier, so I don't know what type of an impact that might have on the holiday. Although they might just increase it anyway, just to go along with the tariffs. So, yeah, it will have an impact. And, of course, we continue to see this escalating trade war between the two countries and nudging the world economy towards its first recession in a decade. And investors are demanding that politicians and central bankers act fast to change course. You had Lawrence Summers, former U.S. Secretary, Treasury Secretary, and White House economic advisor during the last downturn, said that the risk of a U.S. recession is much higher than it needs to be. And it is a lot higher than just 2 months ago. Some economists are predicting that if the U.S. puts 25% tariffs on all Chinese imports for 4 to 6 months and the country hits back, a global economic contraction is likely within 3 quarters at most. And I still believe that I listened to my customer, businessman, successful businessman, who purchases from China, and he says these tariffs, there's no place else to go. They're going to continue to buy from China because of the price. They can't find the product cheaper anywhere else. So I don't know. They're going to, that only means one of two things. They might be absorbing it now, but if you're going to have any trickle down, it's going to be a trickle down if these tariffs remain or more added. So, and I believe the stimulus is that, I don't believe that this trade war 100% is impacting what's going around globally. I don't believe all of a sudden that, you know, because there was a statement that there might be a 10% increase on the tariffs of $300 billion for China, that pushes all these other emerging markets to do what they're doing. We've seen the 10-year Treasury yield, that slid again today, pushing the rate to its lowest level since 2016. We certainly have seen the aggressive rate cuts by overseas central banks. Remember, folks, the yield on the 10-year Treasury note is used as the benchmark for mortgage rates and auto loans. Hit a low of 1.59%. This is the lowest since the fall of 2016. The yield in the 30-year Treasury bond bottomed around 2.13%, and that was also the lowest since 2016. I can't remember where you have to go back. I think it was 2008 where the 10-year actually hit 1.27, I think. So it's, and we're in a great economy. Dave, which supports the arguments that we are going negative. We had the yield in the German 10-year bund also hit a new all-time low of negative 0.6%, while the 30-year bund also hit a record at negative 0.137%. So, I don't know, Dave.
Well, you know, the Treasury yield curve also worsened. You know, its recent flattening and inversion with the spread between the yield on the 3-month Treasury bill and that of the 10-year Treasury note close to negative 40 basis points. I've been following that particular spread for about 2 years now, and it's been inverted for over a year, and it just keeps getting wider and wider. It's a telling story that not only can you not deny, you really got to prepare for it. I mean, the only question is when, you know, the recession is going to hit. You know, the spread between the 2 and 10-year yields, it's a long-time recession gauge, hit a low of 7.4 basis points, its lowest level since June of 2007. John Hill of BMO Capital Markets said there's an element of fear here that the Fed won't cut as much as necessary to keep the cycle going and maintain inflation near 2%. This keeps front-end rates, he believes, elevated while long-term yields fall. But he added that, you know, he thinks eventually this is going to give way to a more aggressive Fed, even a mid-cycle cut, which could easily be in the 100 to 125 basis point magnitude. That's a pretty bold statement. I'm not sure that Jerome Powell-led Fed is in the market for that, but stranger things have certainly happened. But the main point to remember here, ladies and gentlemen, in the meantime, investors, for good reason, have been rushing into safer assets like gold. Some to U.S. government bonds as well, especially since last week amid all of these concerns.
Well, what I find interesting, why I don't think we're going to have any big pullbacks in gold, is just because of the shift, the discussions that you hear, all of a sudden it is all about gold. And Wall Street doesn't ever mention gold in a positive term. Mm. And now you have all these analysts I've heard. I've had CNBC on all day in the background. All I heard all day long was gold, 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 gold. So the tide is changing. And they're doing it for a reason. They're all, CYA. And so you're going to hear more and more talk about gold. So this is all good. And, as I mentioned earlier, President Trump today had pressed his demand for the Federal Reserve to accelerate interest rates cuts, saying that it needs to keep pace with its global counterparts. He said in an early morning tweet that they must cut rates bigger and faster and stop their ridiculous quantitative tightening now. And, of course, that was in caps. So, President Trump has been a persistent Fed critic, even though it approved a quarter point rate cut just a week ago. Doesn't it seem like it's been months ago that we had that quarter point cut? And President Trump said waiting is not an option, as he is calling on the Fed to act now.
Well, he also said that our problem is not China. Said, we are stronger than ever. Money's pouring into the U.S. while China's losing companies by the thousands and their currency's under siege. Said, our problem is a Federal Reserve that's too proud to admit their mistake of acting too fast and tightening too much. Now, he does talk about, he sort of suggests that the Fed's still quantitative tightening, but, they already announced a few months ago that this was the last month that was going to occur. The president also characterized the yield curve as too wide. So he's certainly keeping the pressure on, Melody. And even though, as a whole, the Fed declares and ensures its independence, you never know individually how some of these comments, and particularly the follow-up phone calls, what kind of effect they're having.
Well, it's just chatter. And again, markets move on what they say sometimes, not what they do. Mortgage apps, they rise 5.3%. So that was homeowners took an advantage to the sizable drop in mortgage interest rates last week. We'll mention that when we come back from the break. Please stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today. today, complete with two Black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Gentlemen, you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and I'm here with my co-host, Dave Allen. And we want to thank you for joining us this afternoon. We do so appreciate you. And I do get a little overexcited when gold is up big. And, you know, because I know how long we've been so patient to get some action in the gold and silver market. And so many you understand what true monetary policy is. We know where we're heading with the fiat dollar, and we know where gold and silver prices are headed. And so it's not going to be a fun, you know, we have the one investment that when it does well, there's also nasty things that are going on. So, but, you know, we need to preserve our purchasing power. And I've heard a lot of people talk today that they were waiting for gold prices to rise so they could sell. And I'm thinking to myself, who is out there telling people, there's somebody out there that's suggesting that people sell? Don't listen to them, ladies and gentlemen. Heaven's sakes. I mean, who are these people?
People who are looking for cash flow, apparently.
Exactly. Exactly. So check the agenda out. What is their agenda? Why would they be telling you that, you know, when there's so many indicators showing our financial system is ready to go belly up? So don't know. But be careful with what you hear. And they can provide you with the greatest information that I would concur with. I would say they're doing they're spot on. But be careful what the agenda is, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what you have to, you know, pay attention to. And if you have any questions, call me. I do the research for you. I will look to see if it's a good buy. Do you know how many times I get calls from many, many folks, the advertisements they see on television about silver and gold, and, hey, you'll get $2,000 free silver. Haven't you guys learned anything yet? There is no such thing as free in the world that we live in today, particularly $2,000 worth. If they're actually giving you $2,000 worth of free silver, can you imagine what you're paying for your silver? They don't give anything away free. Oh, if you buy this, you can earn $2,000 worth of silver free. Good grief. That means they're probably making 50% commission on your order in order to do that. So, and silver, and I'm seeing silver buys on those 1.5 ounce coins, 2 ounce silver coins, and so forth. And this was when silver was $15. It has to go to $35 before people break even. That's just breaking even. So with those numbers, yeah, let me charge you this. I'll charge you a little less where silver only has to break $25, and I'll still give you $2,000 worth of free silver. So anyway, just give me a call, because you're going to hear so many pitches out there, and that's what they are. Give us a call, ladies and gentlemen, 1-800-375-4188. Dave, I didn't know if you want to touch a little bit on, are we seeing such a great the negative rate bonds? I mean, it's going to a record high. I didn't know if you want to touch on that and before we move on.
No, we'll follow up on that, you know, in a future program.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll bring this to the program on Friday. And but I think I mentioned it yesterday anyway, Dave. We're $15 trillion of government bonds worldwide. About 25% of the market are now trade at negative rates, and this has nearly tripled since October 2018. And we were talking during the break that I saw a big headline today based on all these negative rates and so forth, that cash is no longer king as rates plunge around the world. And that was big headline. And as soon as I saw Cash is no longer king, I thought of Larry Kudlow, as he is always talking about king dollar. Well, when you have negative rates, cash is no longer king, ladies and gentlemen. So gold, 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 and silver. So I thought that was kind of interesting.
Ironic.
Yes, ironic. Thank you. Okay, this week we're going to talk a little bit about healthcare. We're going to talk a little bit about millennials. And, of course, they seem to be putting off healthcare, Dave.
Yeah, yes, Melody. Brevity is Golden features a new study that has revealed that millennials are shying away from traditional physicians for any health issues and are opting instead to treat their ailments by searching the internet. Harmony Healthcare surveyed 2,000 young adults between the ages of 23 and 38, the study revealed that 45% of millennials say they've been putting off a health issue, and more than half have delayed seeking treatment for more than 6 months. And one of the reasons young adults are putting off medical care, not surprisingly, is their insurance. Harmony found that 57% of millennials prefer high deductible insurance plans to keep their monthly premiums low. And couple that with, two-thirds are not putting away anything in their savings in the event they have a medical emergency or unexpected medical debt, we can see why that, or certainly understand these pretty glaring numbers. Instead, 73% of millennials say they search for medical advice online rather than going to see a doctor in person. The top places they seek out medical advice is WebMD, online news articles, YouTube, and Reddit. Nearly half believe those online resources to be accurate, and 93% supplement their doctor's opinion with their own independent research on Google. Most millennials are foregoing regular physicals from a general practitioner. The study revealed that a quarter of millennials haven't seen a family doctor an annual wellness check in 1 to 2 years. Another 38% have waited longer than 2 years, and 24% have waited longer than 5 to get a checkup. Savor your youth, whomever you young'uns are out there. When asked why this is, millennials said they felt healthy, 41% of them, or they were too busy to get to the doctor, 39%. They found it inconvenient, 31%, or just don't have a primary care physician of their own, 24%. When millennials do decide to seek medical treatment or get a physical, they're choosing their doctors primarily through the internet. Not surprising these days. Roughly one-third of millennials say they find doctors via their insurance's own online portal, and 21% say they go off online reviews. Another 29% rely on family members' referrals to find a physician, while 11% turn to friends for advice. Respondents seem comfortable with the prospect of getting medical advice from doctors via technology. Nearly half said that they would rather see a doctor virtually then take the time to go to a doctor's office to seek treatment. Not all doctors will do this. I know my daughter's, for one, does. She and her physician's assistant return emails at evening Monday through Friday, she said. And I've seen a couple of late evening emails from her to confirm that. Is cost to blame? Well, only 1 in 3 millennials say they regularly set aside savings for a health issue or a medical emergency. And of those, who say they are saving, half say they're saving less than $100 each month. We live in interesting times, Melody. And that is this week's Brevity is Golden.
Well, no wonder you hear so much about how the millennials, support Bernie Sanders and anyone who says, free healthcare, free healthcare, free healthcare, but no one addresses the problem. Why healthcare is so expensive? Why are these, in order to seek treatment, sometimes it takes you a month to get a test, 6 weeks to get a test. And, you know, the healthcare system is not being addressed. And just doing free healthcare, free Medicare for everybody just isn't going to work. But, you know, I consider myself blessed because when I was their age, I worked for companies that provided healthcare. They don't do that anymore. You know, it was part of the employment package. I didn't work for anyone who didn't supply my health care. I didn't take those jobs. I always made sure that, you know, this was part of the benefit package. But they don't do that anymore. The jobs aren't there. Those types of jobs aren't there today. And it's, you know, the whole, you know, it has changed so much, Dave. You know, we were going to talk about how, you know, these companies are looking to drop pension plans. So, yeah, I mean, these young kids, how are they going to survive for their retirement? We know Social Security isn't going to be there. I mean, that's going to be belly up by the time they get to that age. There's, you know, some of the 401ks have been replaced with the retirement savings accounts. But they're a little bit more vulnerable to the ups and downs of the stock market. But changes for these companies are really happening quite fast. And again, Dave, this is it's not trickling down. They're changing things, so it doesn't trickle down.
Well, yeah, it's the way it's turning out for sure. I mean, you know, it's sort of like a double and triple whammy in some cases. You know, entry-level jobs, of course, they pay less. A lot of the newer entrants into the workplace, you know, have gobs of student loan debt they're living with and are going to live with their parents for the next probably 5 to 10 years. And yet still not be able to save much of anything, if anything. And so, you know, again, it's not surprising that, you know, we're hearing, reading these statistics from the Harmony Health Study of Millennials and Gen Zs, and seeing, you know, other reports of, you know, companies cutting back defined benefit pension plans, eliminating them, not offering them anymore to new hires, and instead, you know, some level of 401k or IRA or other retirement savings matches. You know, among Fortune 500 companies, only 81 sponsored a traditional pension plan in 2017. That's down from close to 300 in 1998, and I'm sure it was higher 10 years and higher yet 20 years before that. It's the times we live in. I mean, obviously, defined benefit pension plans were the hallmark of retirement security for our parents and grandparents' generations. And now, you know, as I tie it to, you know, the profit motive of modern day corporations that are looking to, you know, to almost solely to produce for shareholders, that pensions, retirement, healthcare benefits have been likely candidates, easy candidates for cutting. To get those liabilities off their balance sheets. And so I don't think there's any way of going back. I mean, the only thing that I think those folks can hope for now is that, you know, future Congresses and presidents will support, you know, keeping the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation. It's a government related enterprise that essentially guarantees the pensions of, it's an oversimplification, but guarantees pensions of companies that can no longer and that might be their only hope. But hey, the hidden message here, ladies and gentlemen, is tell your sons and daughters and nieces and nephews and the like that as much as they can, they've got to start saving now, and saving as much as they, you know, as they practically can, because you know, the future is ever so more uncertain than it was for us.
And you know, when you're young and you think, oh well, 65, I mean, heck, I got a lot of time. I got a lot of time to do what I need to do, but it goes by so quickly. And yeah. Here I thought this was interesting. Job cuts announced due to bankruptcy have hit the highest level since 2009.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. Job cuts announced due to bankruptcy have hit the highest level since 2009. Now, this comes from a new analysis by global outplacement executive and business coaching firm Challenger Gray and Christmas. Through July, companies have announced 42,937 job cuts due to bankruptcy. That is 40% higher than July of 2018. That's an incredible high number. And I think this needs to be discussed a little more, but unfortunately, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. And we'll be back on Friday. Well, I'll be back on Friday with James Corbett, and tomorrow I'll be back with Butch. So until then, thank you, Dave.
Hey, pleasure.
And until then, ladies and gentlemen, be safe, good night, and God bless.
Bye-bye.